Hello, .NET members, readers, and listeners. My name is John Moore, and this is the ProWrestling.NET All Access audio review for the WWE 205 Live show that aired December 26, 2017 on the WWE Network. After the commercial break for the non-members, I'll be going over my full audio review for the 205 Live show that aired after Christmas. Now we're back, and as usual with 205 Live, sad to say, it was another missable episode, but you should probably expect that already. The first match of the show might be something you want to check out, either on YouTube or even going to WWE Network and isolating that match and then just skipping the rest of the episode because why watch the rest of 205 Live? But that's the story of 205 Live. You get. It looks like they're going to try to do something with Tony Nese, but how many times have we seen Tony Nese versus Akira Tozawa before? And Tony Nese would get random wins. Akira Tozawa mostly gets the wins. Doesn't matter because it's Tony Nese against someone. And the main event had Drew Gulak again. And despite Drew Gulak's popularity and talent at playing the character, it's still missable. The huge story on this episode was the crowd reaction. It was mostly dead. They would pop at points, but we got an early "This is boring" chant or something of the sort. And throughout the show, the wrestlers were sensing it, so they were trying extra hard to get a reaction out of the crowd. Akira Tozawa, who usually has an easy time getting his ah chant over, had to really try, and Tony Nese on the other end trying to draw heat. The wrestlers were a little more audible than usual in trying to get that crowd reaction. The crowd was dead, and you can't really blame them because it's 205 Live. Why are they even still here? Why? It baffles me a bit. If, for example, if I were in the crowd, I'd probably stick around to the dark main event because I write for ProWrestling.net. But let's say I wasn't writing for ProWrestling.net, and I still watch pro wrestling. I would probably put a New Japan on my diet instead of this show if I were covering it. But I would, and here's a big example. Right now I'm living in the Bay Area, but my hometown is Los Angeles. So let's say I was in Staples Center, I would want to beat that nasty 10 freeway traffic going home. So I would try to leave before the congestion of people leave Staples Center. And even though if everyone thought the way I did, traffic would be just as bad. But hypothetically, I would be trying to beat the crowd. Why are people inspired to stick around? That dark main event match better have something. You better get to the high five AJ Styles. Like, he better go up in the stands and high five the people to make their time worth it. Otherwise, I don't see any good reason to stay for 205 Live. That's one thing I hope, and it's not, and again, I never do this as a slight against the wrestlers, against the talent, because they're putting lots of hard work in there. If the crowd could do this, I wouldn't want to see a crowd just walk out on the show to show WWE that this formulaic, mundane BS isn't going to cut it. 205 Live. But that was the story of this show. The whole they did bring roll out Mustafa Ali, the hometown guy, to get the cheap pop, and he did get the cheap pop by the end. But that's just it. It was cheap. Ari Daivari went for cheap heat by saying Chicago sucks. It's cheap. It's just gonna happen automatically if you walk into your hometown and say it sucks. Someone tells me LA sucks, I'm gonna hate it because LA is awesome. Sorry, not LA livers, living people. I'm from LA. But cheap pop, cheap heat. The show's cheap. and it needs this writing. I don't know what happened when Neville left, because it at least seemed when Neville was on the show that they at least cared about the main event segments, and now we're seeing Drew Gulak and Tony Nese seep into them. So that tells you where we're at right now. The biggest legit pop of the night was a Drew Gulak joke, and I'll be getting into that in my audio review. But I'll try not to linger too much because this is 205 Live. The only thing worth checking on this episode is the first match, and I'll get into that. If you would like to follow along with me, you can check out my written review, which is on prowrestling.net. You could actually read that review instead of watch 205 Live, because this show doesn't deserve the viewers. And yeah, like I said, and it's no slight against the wrestlers. Here's the thing. 205 Live should be canceled. And the re is the reason being, you could dissolve the wrestlers that deserve to be on the roster into the NXT roster. Well, they'll be put in some good storylines and get better exposure because now they're being damaged. That's the whole problem that 205 Live is having. These are all damaged goods. So when you send them to another roster, say the Raw or SmackDown, they'll just be damaged, and it would be tough to reset them. You put them on NXT, a new start, new brand, or even allow them to go. I wouldn't mind seeing a few of these wrestlers on Impact Wrestling and seeing them do well there. Because 205 Live. See, 205 Live's below Impact Wrestling, TNA. How did that happen? I'm ranting. That's what the show does. Okay, here we go. That, and crowds, like I say, okay, see? I went off. If you're reading my. Okay, and one more point I want to get in there too is 205 Live shouldn't be a charity for 205 wrestlers. Most of the wrestlers on 205 Live don't need that charity. They are great talents who would make any roster strong. I mean, anyway, back to the review. If you would like to follow along and not watch 205 Live, check out my written review. And you're probably listening to the audio review for the same purpose and hearing me ranting, but it's what the show does. I use the written review as an outline and as notes, so you can as well. Now, without further ado, let's get into the audio review of 205 Live. This week's 205 Live aired right after SmackDown in Chicago, Illinois, at the Allstate Arena. The opening teaser scene just recapped the Dasha Fuentes and Enzo, the Dasha Fuentes interview from last week between Enzo Amore and Cedric Alexander, and they showed the highlights from the Drew Gulak versus Cedric Alexander match. Random recommendation: that match was actually pretty good. You can probably go back and check that out more than this episode, but that's it. We had, and this was the highlight of the night. It was the opening skit, and. You had Drew Gulak backstage, Cedric Alexander, and Drew Gulak's like pacing around impatiently, looking at his cell phone. And this was the best part, right here. Cedric Alexander asked Drew Gulak, like, "Are you waiting for a call? Why are you waiting for a call from your boss?" And Drew Gulak, with the line of the night, said, like, "Why would I be waiting for Sasha Banks?" And the crowd popped. So that was legit. There, that was the one little bit of good writing. That's what the show lacks. It's writing. It looks like someone wrote that, and that was solid. And Drew Gulak's deadpan delivery helps. This was essentially it was a Cedric Alexander trying to sow the seeds of dissension in the sow train, saying that if Enzo Amore were gone, Drew Gulak will be allowed to do his PowerPoint presentations. He wouldn't be called a elf and sugar plum fairy. He wouldn't have to wear an elf suit. But that 100%, that probably wouldn't be the case, because if he were on Raw and he were Drew Gulak, they would probably make him wear an elf suit anyway. Yeah, that's what that opening skit was. It was to put some seeds of dissent in the sow train. That's another problem of this whole this sow train designation. All the undercard J-Brone heels are titled The So Train, a pun on the Soul Train. But it's homogenizing and degrading to all the heels on the show. But all these heels were degraded to begin with because they don't win. The only one heel wins things on the show, and it's Brian Kendrick. And I thought they were building him up to a collision with Hideo Itami, but on Raw last night, they just ended up having him in a somewhat extended enhancement match, and he was ran into the collision of Hideo Itami's knee, which broke his orbital bone, sadly. But yeah, 205 Live doesn't seem like they care. Anyway, Vic Joseph, we had the 205 Live intro theme. Vic Joseph and Nigel McGuinness checked in on commentary. They just said what I said, and sowing the seeds of dissent and all that good stuff. Joseph did not mention how this was the most exciting show on television, so there, that's good. But he's gonna say it next week. Yeah. Da, 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 da. They showed a replay of Brian Kendrick getting injured via the GTS. You had Hideo Itami come out. Jack Gallagher also comes out saying that everyone in Chicago were Pullocks and that he was going to teach everyone a lesson to avenge Brian Kendrick. So the first match of the night was Hideo Itami versus Jack Gallagher. And as you would expect, Jack Gallagher doesn't win matches. In fact, during this match, there was a "This is awful" chant, which I hope it was due to Gallagher's drawing heat, which he was doing a solid job at. He called Chicagoans, or whatever you call people from Chicago, Pullocks and cheap heat. And but like I would go with this show being awful because 205 Live is awful. It's awful. It's terrible. So Hideo Itami defeated Jack Gallagher via submission in 7 minutes and 37 seconds. The ending sequence of the match, you had Gallagher trying to lock in the Captain's Hook, and he successfully did. But Hideo Itami ended up getting the rope break, ended up hitting a few of his signature moves like the hesitation drop kick and the back fist, and then he locked in the Rings of Saturn to pick up the submission win. So interesting move there. Because we haven't seen Hideo Itami just do a submission moveset in his WWE run. I hope that they're not taking away the GTS because it injured someone legitimately badly. They could just tell Hideo Itami to tone it down a bit. Even though when in his there is a string of nose injuries from this. When he was wrestling Oney Lorcan in NXT like maybe a month or two ago, every single match they would have against each other, and yeah, it wasn't just due to the GTS, but it was due to them being pretty stiff. They always would end up with bloody noses. It was interesting. Just watch their series of matches, Oney Lorcan, Hideo Itami. Bunch of bloody noses, but that's a Hideo Itami style. He is a like a stiff brute, which is works for him. That's how he should be wrestling, and it makes him stand out. So he's not doing flips and stuff. It's better to look like a real legit fighter, and that's also someone who what Jack Gallagher could do. But they just keep having the guy lose. Also, thing to note about this match. So throughout the match, you had Hideo Itami yell "Respect me" throughout the match. Which I think is a good move. It's something he was doing in NXT, but I think he does have to tone it down a little bit. One time at most, two times if he really has to get it out there. But like once you do it more than twice, it's sort of like if you ever watch Guardians of the Galaxy and you have "I am Groot," that becomes his "I am Groot," where he just doesn't say any other words other than "I am Groot." And Hideo Itami doesn't say any other words other than "respect me." So tone down to "respect me" a bit, or else it becomes just comical. But with what they're doing with Hideo Itami is interesting. It seems like they're picking up from they're sort of rewinding the clock a little bit with Itami, to when he came back from his latest shoulder injury. He's had several big time shoulder injuries while in NXT, and this latest one was where he came back and he just changed his demeanor completely. He is a little more just a little more angry, more pissed off in the ring. Wasn't pandering to the crowd, which he's not doing anymore, and he's demanding that people respect him, which I thought was really starting to pick up on NXT. And it ultimately led to him turning heel because he was being just too cruel against his opponents. Talk about what Gallagher was talking earlier about Itami not really, being a stranger to cruelty. It led to Itami being heel, and I hope that ends up being the case, especially on 205 Live. The downside, like this, when you're comparing him to the strongest heel that the show's ever had in Neville, is in the ring they can be equally as cruel, to continue the cruelty theme. The weakness with Itami is, of course, his the language barrier. We haven't really seen him had to cut a promos, and they shouldn't have him going out there cutting promos. But I hope he doesn't get exposed, with him just saying "respect me, respect me, respect me." Unless he can find a way to emote that well, then I'll eat my words. But maybe tone it down three respects me's, and we'll be good there. But looks like they might be heading towards a heel turn. This show still needs a huge reset. In that case, I hear Rockstar Spud is backstage. I don't know if it's legit or not, but the reports are that he's backstage. And I'm glad they see something in him, that they don't want to put him on this crappy show. Hopefully when that they have plans to make the show a little bit better, and Rockstar Spud would be a huge asset to this show. There's a name to be aware of. I'll tell you what his WWE names ends up being once we find out. But Rockstar Spud, I would hitch my wagon to as one of the most underrated talents in the professional wrestling industry. One of the top promos in the pro wrestling industry when given a chance. And even when not given a chance, he's the guy, a type of guy who can make chicken salad out of chicken BS or CS, but whatever, I don't curse audibly all the time, so. And this is supposed to be safe for work. It's 205 Live. Anyway, let's move along. I'm taking too long anyway. I'll take a break right now. Maybe that will make me feel a little bit better. So to talk to you guys about .NET membership. For the low price of $7.50 a month, you can become a .NET member. And what comes with that .NET membership, you may ask? You get full access to our site, ads-free. So that's the one perk. But the bulk, the meat of the money goes into getting full audio access. I don't give you NXT audio reviews every week, or this 205 Live in this case. You got me one from me last week, but that's because during the holiday seasons we're just putting some random audios out, and it just happened to be my 2 weeks in a row. But note that that's not going to be a regular thing. You get a sampling on the free site every once in a while, but note that the .NET members get the WWE Raw, WWE SmackDown, WWE 205 Live, NXT, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, Lucha Underground, all those audio reviews every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of the week. We give you so on the free side you get something Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday throughout the week. Note that there's another layer of Monday through Friday audio behind the member side. Also, we have the .NET Weekly Show, where Jason Powell and a co-host go over all the big wrestling news of the week. And the co-host could be one of our .NET staffer, it could be someone like Jim Ross, it could be Johnny Fairplay, it could be anyone in the pro wrestling industry. Who knows? But we're in a special season right now, and this is why now is the time to become a .NET member. We're in the middle of roster evaluations. We've already gotten through the Ring of Honor one, the WWE Raw one, the WWE SmackDown one. The Raw one in particular was huge, because it dealt with these cruiserweights, and it dealt with just the huge Raw roster. All these reviews were over 2 hours, the Raw going like 3 or 4 hours. We're in the middle of the NXT roster evaluations. I'll be joining Jason Powell later on this week, and we'll be recording the final part, hopefully. It should be the final part of the NXT roster evaluations. We stopped at around Johnny Gargano. We do it by alphabetical order, so J something. And so if you join right now, you'll get to hear our thoughts on the roster, like during the time when it would be most relevant, because these are rosters you're seeing on air. And what these roster evaluations are, they're like NFL scouting reports where you get to see, where we talk about the strengths, weaknesses of the wrestlers and the strengths and weaknesses of their booking on the brand. We also go into some behind the scenes of details if we can unearth some of them to you guys, or go into some of the history of these guys if you're not familiar with them. So there you go. It's roster evaluation season. Now's the time to become a .NET member. $7.50 a month. If you take us up on your annual option, you can bring down the average monthly price to around $5.50 a month, $2 off. That's it. Check us out. And if you don't like us, you can shut us down. If you end up liking us, take us up on the annual so you can lock us in. With that said, let's get back into the audio review. We cut to Dasha Fuentes backstage. She interviewed Enzo Amore. No, wait. No, she in interviewed Tony Nese. Enzo Amore is in Madison Square Garden, as we found out. There was a big Madison Square Garden house show that was happening the same time as this. And Tony Nese talked about how he wants to punch the Soul Train in the face, but he knows how his like how he got a lot more money and stuff, and how he his career is booming after Enzo joined 205 Live. Like, is it? I mean, I get, I, that's why I get it from a kayfabe standpoint, but from this, from a viewership, that's when you view it, it's like, what makes Enzo being on 205 Live make this a better show ultimately, when they marginalized him down with all these J-Bone heels? Anyway, long story short, but let me see. Oh, okay, here we go. Dasha Fuentes wanted to know whether he was still on the Soul Train. He was about to answer, but Akira Tozawa jumped in and asked the same question. And Tony Nese, out of nowhere, pulled a stiff right hand punch on Akira Tozawa and then walked off. So I noted that that was probably the best thing Tony Nese has ever done on 205 Live, because it's different from him. But he's still established as a jumping J-Brone. Just like all the heels on these show on this show. Let's see. Yeah. I'll go into the next match. The next match was Tony Nese versus Akira Tozawa. Oh joy. Tony Nese came out doing a slightly modified version of his entrance. He talked about how he was going to put a right fist into Akira Tozawa, I think. It's so weird that he does this weird promo, but you can barely hear it because they don't mic him up. And they don't have to. It's unnecessarily long. The problem with Tony Nese is he needs a huge reset. The end of this match was Tony Nese randomly winning. He defeated Akira Tozawa via pinfall in 6 minutes and 49 seconds. Akira Tozawa went for his top rope. He had Tony Nese on the ground. He went for the top rope jumping senton. Tony Nese recovered, hit a flying palm strike, which is pretty cool, and then he hit the running Nese in the corner. It's a pun on running knee. It's almost as bad as Mandrews, Mark Andrews. Whatever. I'm making other references. But he hit the running Nese on Akira Tozawa to pick up the clean win. And yeah, that's it. Tony Nese picks up a random win. He does this on occasion. He would beat someone like Akira Tozawa. He might have beat TJ Perkins, might have beat Rich Swann one time. The announcers never make a big deal out of it. because Niece loses more often than not. And Tony Niece, and it looks like they're going with this whole Shades of Grey thing where we don't really know what Tony Niece his MO or his motivations are. That only works when the character is intriguing, but no one ever thought of Tony Niece as intriguing, and he's still doing this Chris Masters Jr. routine, this like the muscle guy who is narcissistic, but is also a loser jumping cruiserweight jabron, heel jabron. The baby faces aren't jabronis. It's just the heels. And it's not them. It's how they're positioned. 205 Live, moving along. Let's see. Nigel told us that Enzo Mori's in Madison Square Garden. Joseph said that Enzo may be on a date with Nia Jax. They recapped, so they cut to a replay of the Enzo Mori and Nia Jax mistletoe segment, sorry, where Alexa Bliss jumped in and stole Nia Jax away, leaving Enzo Mori with blue balls. There you go. Moving along, Arya Daivari, Drew Gulak made their entrance. Drew Gulak did the exact same promo that he did the last couple of weeks. He just added how during the holidays people like to make best of lists, and he was going to show his PowerPoint presentation, which drew a little bit more of a pop. And a thing I forgot to, I don't know, I didn't note it, where during the Kira Tozawa and Nice match, they were trying hard for cheers and boos. They managed to get some, but they had to exaggerate in like the wrestlers had to really fish for those. Maybe it's because they're in Chicago. I think it's because this show sucks. And it wasn't only in Chicago. The last couple of weeks, this has been a problem in getting solid crowd reactions. You had so after Drew Gulak was called for the PowerPoint presentation, as usual, Cedric Alexander's theme interrupts. It's always Cedric Alexander's theme, and his theme is starting to become like a dread on me. It was a dread for a while when he would wrestle the opening match against Noam Dar every week. It's you would always hear, "In the night, I feel at home." That's Cedric's theme, the opening lines. Cedric comes out when Mustafa Ali points out that Ali's from Chicago, so cheap pop, and it worked. Then they cut this very dorky promo, like this mocking the PowerPoint presentation. And going back into that whole how Enzo Mori might leave the Soul Train for Nia Jax. The last match of the night was Drew Gulak and Arya Daivari versus Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali. And a match I'm sure has happened, maybe. I wouldn't be shocked if this match has happened 20 times in 205 Live. That number sounds exaggerated or hyperbole, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's a fact. Seriously. or just yeah, no, with Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali could have been teamed up many times before. See, this match wasn't great. You had the commentators noting how Drew Gulak is aggressive now, and not really. And the prior match, they pointed out how Tony Nese was aggressive, which he did change up his ring style to Tony Nese's credit. Problem with Tony Nese is he didn't change the rest of the Chris Masters act. Gulak was aggressive last week, but this week he was just in standard tag team match mode. And announcers transitioned talking about how the story of the match was they were trying to weaken Cedric Alexander. And yeah, but it didn't work. You had Arya Daivari going for a superplex, but then Drew Gulak stopped Arya Daivari because on his no-fly zone. And both babyfaces end up hitting both of their finishers on both of the heels, the lumbar check and the inverted 450. Ali picked up the win on Daivari. There you go. In 8 minutes and 52 seconds via pinfall. The babyface team celebrated, and next week we're getting the Cruiserweight title match that no one really cares about. More people care about what Enzo Mori is going to do with Nia Jax, or that segment. Which is so weird. Those segments are getting very positive reactions from the crowd, to the point where it looks like Enzo More is back to being a raw baby face, and he's kind of just sort of a signpost on 205 Live. I'm glad we're not getting this match on 205 Live because I would have to watch it, but on Raw, it's not going to be a great one too. Next week's New Year's. I don't think I'm going to be watching Raw that day. I usually catch it on Hulu anyway afterwards, but yeah, whatever. It's 205 Live. This week's episode, you didn't have to watch it. The crowd reaction, it was tough for the talent, and it's not their fault. It's just the way that they're booked, and I've spent too much time. If you want to hear me argue, rewind this audio. I'll be back much happier in much better spirits tomorrow with my NXT audio review because that show is always good. That show's going to have a fatal four-way between Lars Sullivan, Aleister Black, who else? Johnny Gargano, and who's the fourth one? Let's see. And Killian Dain. All see this. When you have one-on-one matches between any of those four, they're sure to be good. But with those four all together, that is sure to be a good show. I have no idea who wins. I did look at the spoilers, but I try to wipe those from my mind. And 205 Live is also good at really hammering my mind down with garbage. But I'm almost sure that's going to be a good match, and I'll be in much better spirits because NXT. It's a better booked show. And all these guys on 205 Live deserve to be on that show in a good way. Anyway, that's it. And I didn't get a chance to mention happy day after Christmas and happy holidays to everyone who celebrates all the holidays. And in a few weeks, have a happy new year. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.